Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Wednesday evening, February 2nd. That means it's time for Under the Radar.
Woohoo! Retro style.
Retro style, just the two of us. Very
Yeah.
first podcast we ever did here. If you go all the way back in the way back to the start of the Hoops HD, at least on our current version of the site, our first recording of a podcast was me and you, Griggs, doing a Under the Radar podcast.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was awful. It was actually don't go back and watch it.
Yeah, you don't want to go back and watch it. So
my camera didn't even work on my old computer. You could barely say it was bad. Yeah. I'm Chad Sherwood. He's David Griggs, and this is our Under the Radar podcast, which means we are going to be talking about everybody that nobody else is talking about. Is that about right?
Right. Yeah. And yesterday was a huge day. I mean, how about that? Hey, we had Auburn, Alabama. We had Texas Tech. I mean, just a lot of big games. We're not talking about any of that. What we are talking about is the 22 regular one-bid leagues, or mostly one-bid leagues. They're the leagues that only get one bid most of the time. There's no rule that says they can only get one. In fact, I think there's at least a couple that are going to get two this year. We'll get into that during the show. But it is not the Power Five, the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC, and ACC, nor is it the five other regular multi-bid leagues, the Big East, the A-10, the Mountain West, the American, and the West Coast. It's everybody else. That's what we're talking about tonight.
Everybody else. The other disqualifier is if you're in the top 25 of either of the two major polls, you're not under the radar. All these teams and all these conferences are under the radar for now.
Yeah.
There's one team that's getting close again. Loyola had pumped out onto the top 25, dropped back out of it.
Yeah.
Now Murray State is creeping up.
Very close. And given with what happened to LSU yesterday, I think they drop out. I think next week they're in, assuming they win their two games this week.
Yeah, they've got – I think there's one or two teams that in between them that might sneak in, but there's a chance, definitely.
Yeah.
Let's, though, start things off. We have been starting our – Hoops HD reports on Monday nights and our bracket rundown shows on Thursday nights with blind resumes. We haven't done one on Under the Radar, though. I think it's time about time we did an Under the Radar blind resume.
Yeah, we need to do that. I think so.
Absolutely. So I want to pull up the screen share here, if I hit the right button, which I think I just did. And we're going to go blind resume. I made this one special just for you, Griggs. We have two teams here. On the left, we have a team with one true road win. On the right, we have a team with eight true road wins. Which resume is better?
Oh, it's the one on the right. They've got eight true road wins. That's incredible.
Am I correct though that the team on the right has a lot better resume?
Yeah, eight true road wins. That is remarkable. Wait, the team on the left has only played one road game? How does that happen?
The team on the left is the pathetically bad because they only played one road game. Gonzaga Bulldogs, the number one team in the coaches poll, the number one team in the net, the number one team in all predictive metrics. Team on the right, the Monmouth Hawks.
Well, yeah, eight road wins. I mean, that's pretty good. How in the world has Gonzaga only played one? That can't be right, can it?
It is right. It's
What's
absolutely
their conference
correct.
Record? They've played five conference games at home?
Yes, they have.
Well, yeah, I, all this time I didn't realize what a bad resume Gonzaga had.
Exactly. So, Griggs, which team should be seated higher in the NCAA tournament right now?
Well, it's about road wins, and Monmouth has the road wins. But when you look at it, Gonzaga, perfect record on the road.
Okay, I'll give you that. Okay, let's forget about Gonzaga. They are not under the radar. They are definitely above the radar. Monmouth is under the radar. We probably will not be mentioning them much again the rest of the night. Let's go to a feature conference, though. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? What is
the I thought the great place to start tonight actually would be in Conference USA,
yeah,
which has a couple of teams I think we do seriously want to discuss here, and a couple of teams that are in the running, I believe, for at-large bids this season.
At least a couple,
The two teams, I believe, on the top of the West Division, because Griggs, let's talk about what North Texas did first this week. Went to Southern Miss and won, as expected, then huge, huge win on Saturday by 1 point at La Tech.
And that one was really big. La Tech, still a good team, still a talented team, still potentially dangerous if they get to the NCAA tournament. But when it comes to performance and merit, UAB and North Texas have outperformed them. And let's not forget,
Both teams have won at La Tech now. So I think La Tech is done for an at-large bid.
La Tech's done for an at-large bid. I'm just saying, if they get the auto bid, I think they could still potentially be dangerous. But North Texas and UAB still perhaps with an outside shot at getting the at-large bid. North Texas, the top of the resume isn't quite all the way there. You kind of, I mean, had they just beaten Texas, they'd be okay. Had they just beaten Kansas, they'd be okay if they beat Kansas. Yeah.
Honestly, if they just beaten Buffalo, I think they'd be looking a lot better now, just because they have absolutely no losses against a team that's not in at-large contention.
Yeah, but when you look at both these teams, North Texas in particular, like in all of these losses, they were competitive. The Miami game, they were right in there. Kansas, they at least competed in that game. And this was a team that beat Purdue last year in the NCAA tournament. So this is a team to not be overlooked and to be taken seriously. UAB, I love this UAB team. Our good friend Brackett Miller from Rocketeer.org, who couldn't join us because he's in an Uber right now, which I thought he should have done it anyway, just from the Uber, made an observation about UAB that was spot on. They're a pressure team. They play with high intensity, fast paced, lots of possessions. And in a scheduling format like Conference USA, to where you're playing two games in 3 days, sometimes it's hard for them. They kind of run out of gas in the second game of the week. And I had never noticed that about them, but I think he really hit on something that is very, very important.
And Griggs, let me know exactly what happened here. They went to North Texas and won January 6th. 2 days later, they have an awful loss at Rice. Past weekend, they got a very good win on the road at Western Kentucky, a very tough place to win on the Thursday game. What happens in the Saturday game at Marshall? The Marshall team that was winless in conference heading into the game knocks off UAB on Saturday.
Yeah, and you kind of wonder, like, as athletic as they are, it's just their depth and their energy. They just kind of run out of gas. And Marshall, not a good team this year, as you observed. Not winning a single conference game, UAB going there and losing. So it raises the question that in a conference tournament format, to where you're literally playing every day,
is this
a team that's going to run out of juice before?
Assuming they even get the 2 seed in the West and avoid having to play 4 games in 4 days, 3 games in 3 days, even that alone, I believe, is impossible for this UAB team. I believe this conference is probably going to come down to North Texas and Louisiana Tech in the championship game, unless a Western, maybe not a Western Kentucky, they've been really bad, but maybe one of these surprising teams in the East, like a Middle Tennessee, something like that, pulls off an upset and makes the title game. I think it's going to be North Texas. At the end of the day, I think North Texas wins the conference. I really do.
Yeah, and again, a really good year for North Texas. Certainly, kind of we've been not talking about them as much. I think we were both, at least I was, more enamored with UAB and La Tech than them. But they've kind of emerged as a front runner, and they've also kind of emerged as potentially the most dangerous team. And if they win out, is there room for them on the bubble? Is there room for them inside the bubble?
Let me pull that resume, that team sheet back up again. I think that there is. A win out, you could see their upcoming schedule. They have a game at UAB.
That's a big one. Yeah.
Now, if you look at UAB's schedule here, UAB plays Rice 2 days before, so UAB will be on the tired end of that back to back, as 2 games in 3 days.
Yeah.
Advantage North Texas. You get that win, you've got to win the rest of these, because it's all against garbage or a home game against Louisiana Tech. You've got to win all those. UTEP road game, maybe to end the season a little bit tough. UTEP a little better than expected this year. But you win out here for North Texas. You got to make the CUSA title game on top of that. I think it's an interesting case. Should, say, Louisiana Tech knock them off in the CUSA title game?
Yeah, and I would certainly push for them, given what else is on the bubble.
They're not going to really have any wins against the field. I understand that, but they're not going to make bad losses. Really,
no, they won't. And it's when you look at at Wichita State, at La Tech, at UAB, which assumes a win out. To me, that those are three games that while they're not against teams in the field, the fact that they would have been true road wins against teams that are really good at home should get them some attention.
I got on the screen here the upcoming schedule for this week. UAB's big advantage, they only have one game this week. So they should be good.
And they
Thursday
should
off, so they should be fine against Middle Tennessee, even though it's the first place Middle Tennessee team. I think UAB is going to blow out that game, quite honestly.
Yeah, I think so too.
North Texas, on the other hand, we got to find them here. They have a game. They're hosting Texas San Antonio on Saturday, and then they get that UTEP game, which is a makeup game coming out Monday here. So
yeah,
a couple games, hopeful home games for all these teams. Don't know if there's any games I'm really circling. Louisiana Tech at Florida Atlantic, maybe, just because FAU is up there near the top of this of the East Division standings. Maybe. Let's go from the Conference USA to the rest of the conferences in alphabetical order, and it's almost like a 1A, top conference of the day here. The next conference in alphabetical order is the America East, because, Griggs, we had a little bit of America East news coming out today.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in a second.
Involving their second-place team, Stony Brook.
Yeah, so we're 9 games into the 18-game season. Vermont, with a 3-game lead, probably not going to lose more than one game all year, let alone 3. So Lamont is cruising. News out of Stony Brook, the second-place team. I don't know if it's official or not, or if the conference was just media. It is official.
Yes.
Not eligible for the conference tournament this year due to conference bylaws stating – basically, they're leaving the league. They're going to the Colonial. They have informed the America East of their intention. Due to America East policy or bylaws, I say bylaws, I haven't seen them, but they're not going to be allowed to participate in the conference tournament. And you kind of took some issue with Stony Brook on this. I was a little surprised, Chad, because you, like me, have always been quick to defend a school that's being shut out, even because they're leaving it, because they make the decision to leave a conference.
Yeah, I don't like the rule, first of all. I think it's a lousy rule for conferences to put into place. And for that, yeah. I do back up Stony Brook, and I back up James Madison, who's in the same spot, leaving the Colonial to go over to the Sun Belt. However, Stony Brook was part of the group of schools that voted for this rule to be in place. It came in place after Northeastern left the America East. They then put the rule in place. Boston U, when they left the America East to head over to the Patriot League, they got hit by it. They were banned from the conference tournament for that year. Stony Brook voted in favor of it. Stony Brook's administrators decide in the middle of the season, late in the season, actually, we're into February here already. I guess they decided about a week or two ago. They could have delayed the announcement. They could have said, "Hey, listen, we'll wait till May to announce the fact that we're leaving at the end of the year." Then at least these teams could have played. So now Stony Brook, after they made the announcement, went to the America East, applied for a waiver of the America East rule. The America East got together today and said, "Well, no, you have shown us no reason why we should waive this rule for you. When you voted for it, you helped us enforce it against BU, and you decided up in the middle of the season to get up and leave our conference. Why should we grant you a waiver?" Hartford is also leaving the conference in a couple of years. They're dropping down to D3.
Yeah,
that's a different situation. And the America East did say we're not going to enforce that rule against Hartford because they are actually dropping all scholarship athletics. This is a very different situation. But they say if you move into another D1 conference, no, we're going to enforce this. And now the administration is pissed off and is tweeting out that they intend to bring legal action against the America East because of the fact that it let Hartford compete this year and it won't let them compete. I call BS on the administration at Stony Brook. This is your fault. Don't go and whine about this. You're the school that screwed your own kids out of being able to play in the postseason, not the America East.
I am with you on that. I do feel sympathetic and actually bad for the kids. I think that they're being wrong.
Agree completely. The kids are screwed here.
But the administration handled this awfully. And I don't. Honestly, just from a completely selfish standpoint, why wouldn't you wait until May? Why wouldn't you? Wait until your baseball team is eliminated and then say, "Hey, we're leaving."
There's no reason you couldn't have waited. The rumors could have been out there. As long as you didn't make it official till May, you would be playing. But so don't go
unless
and
the Colonial was putting pressure on them to get the ball rolling early. And I don't know that they were or were not. And nor do I know why they would do that. That doesn't make any sense. I don't know why you wouldn't wait until after after your last spring sport was eliminated.
Especially maybe if you have to announce a few months in advance, at least get through the winter sports. At least do that. I still would feel awful for the spring sports. Well,
But to complain.
Stony Brook goes ahead and loses at home to Binghamton by 16 points tonight. Obviously, these kids had no desire to play after the news today. So
Yeah.
That was
Probably
not a
that.
good. How can you blame them? I mean, they just had any
Yeah.
shot of postseason taken
Good
away.
on Binghamton. They've had a really rough ride since going through the scandal or whatever it was they went through. But with Stony Brook out of the way, how wide is Vermont's path here? Are they just going to walk, skate, stroll right into the round of 64?
I don't see anybody beating them. This conference tournament is played on campus sites. They will have home games for the entire conference tournament. It would be a shock if, again, it would have to be a UMBC or a Binghamton here. New Hampshire's 4-4 in conference, 9-8. I mean, but these teams are not in Vermont's league.
No,
They're
they're
not.
not. They're really not.
Vermont this week is at Lowell and then hosting Binghamton. That's the week of the Barrackies. But let's keep moving things along. Over
We
to the
got to keep
A-Sun.
moving. Yeah.
Yeah, we're taking too long. We're going to go a little quicker through the rest of these leagues here.
Yeah.
Beginning with the A-Sun, where let's give the shout out and finally give the due that Jacksonville State deserves here
Absolutely.
for what they did
I
going to Liberty this weekend.
big win, and I have been banging Liberty's drum all year long, and I just thought that they were sort of it was a race for second behind them. Jack State, who I wasn't really that big on coming in the conference play, it's hard to ignore what they've done. 8-0, going on the road to what is arguably the best team and getting the win. Good on them. Good for Ray Harper and his group of really looking good this year.
They are. Now, Liberty did bounce back, went to Kennesaw, a team that we'd been praising when they got off to that 4-0 conference start. Kennesaw now down to 4-4, and the back to the mean, I think, with Kennesaw. But it was fun to cheer Kennesaw on for a couple of weeks there, but absolutely, Jacksonville State is the team. But I think these two teams may be on a collision course again when we get for the ASUN championship game. Although
Another
Bellarmine
quick
is going to be allowed to
yes.
play in the conference tournament, so re remember that.
Yeah, Bellarmine, shout out to them. 7-1 in the league as a transitional team. They've been very successful as a transitional program. Is this their third or fourth year, Chad? Do they got one more, or is this, are they done after this?
They have one more transitional
One
year.
more.
North Alabama, I believe, becomes eligible next year. I believe Bellarmine has one more year after that, if I'm
Okay,
correct.
Bellarmine not eligible for the NCAA tournament or the NIT. Eligible for the CBI, although I have no idea why they'd want to go. And the CIT, an event you and I really enjoy. So there is a chance for them to get into a postseason tournament with a win in advance format. And I think this is exciting for them. NJIT had success in it. Grand Canyon had success in that tournament. It can actually help build your program, and I hope they get an invite. They certainly deserve it.
Yeah, I think they do. I would love to see it. I'd love to see them keep playing. And they, like I said, they could win the ASUN Conference Tournament if it, I believe it would go to the highest seed. Actually, if you want to find out all the details about conference tournaments, check out up there.
Oh,
There's a conference tournament tab
up there.
right up there.
Yeah.
You can find out there. And there's even notes on there with the ASUN of what happens if Bellarmine or North Alabama does win the conference tournament.
Yeah.
Big game coming up tomorrow night. Bellarmine hosting Liberty.
Yeah, that's a big one. Freedom Hall, it's not going to be sold out because I think the place seats about 20,000, but still going to be a fun atmosphere, a good showcase for a Bellarmine program that's done very well. We expected them to, and they have since moving up.
And Griggs coming up on Saturday, one of our favorite, my favorite new in-conference crosstown rivalries between Jacksonville and Jacksonville State.
Yeah, a big crosstown rival. I mean, the town of Jacksonville is gonna be jumping.
It's an awfully big city of Jacksonville. It stretches from
Yes.
Florida to Alabama, a huge, huge
Yeah.
city of Jacksonville.
Right.
The Big Sky Conference. I don't think we saw much change at the top of the standings here. Weber
We
State
didn't.
is just still kind of riding along here. They won at Sacramento State, won at Northern Colorado, beat Eastern Washington this week. A good week for Weber.
Yeah, real good. And I still like them better than anyone else in this conference. Southern Utah is still a feel-good story. I kind of gave up on them a little bit, but you look at them here, just one game back and still having a really good year.
Yeah, they did pick up a couple wins as well. You got to look at Montana and Montana State both up there as well. So at least I still think it's a battle here for the conference regular season title. It's only a one game difference in the loss
Oh, there
column. Should just.
definitely is. Like the top half of the league is separated by just two games. And what a fun conference tournament this is going to be.
And it's gonna be fun big sky action in the state of Utah this week as Weber is gonna be hosting both Montana schools Thursday and Saturday.
Be sure and tune into that. Now, it is kind of unfortunate, Chad. As you know, this is up in the conference tab. ESPN Plus is showing the conference tournament, not Pluto, which means I'm afraid you know what that means.
Odds of floor sweepers showing up
Yes.
are very, very slim at the
Yes,
moment.
I am very upset about that.
But Southern Utah this week is hosting Idaho, hosting Northern Colorado. They got a game against Southern. I'm sorry, they're at Montana Monday night, so that's another one to circle here. Such a big week for Montana, also with
Yeah, it
the
is.
Weber State trip and the host of Southern Utah that on Monday and that makeup game and a game in
Yeah.
between on Saturday as well against Idaho State. Big South Conference. I think there's a few things we could discuss here in the Big South, beginning with the what
Oh.
happened in the Wynwood Cup.
Now, how I
ahead.
I cannot be consoled.
You
I
can't.
just don't understand what I mean, I am not okay. And it's okay to not be okay after what happened on Saturday with the Wynwood Cup. If you missed it, this is Longwood and
Everybody
Wynwood.
did.
Well, yeah, if you missed it, unless you had a ticket, you missed it. Winthrop and Longwood, the stream did not work for the entire game. We took to Twitter, we stormed the gates. What happened, Chad?
Apparently, according to the scoreboard, Longwood went to it says at home. Longwood beat Winthrop, and the Longwood Lancers are now undefeated, 8-0. In sole possession by two games overall standings, four games of their division, a first place in the Big South Conference. I don't think I ever would have said, didn't think I ever would have said that my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought I would have seen that ever. Oh, wait, I didn't see
And
it.
it was our favorite rivalry here at Hoops HD, and the only time they meet, unless they meet in the conference tournament again. So shame on you, ESPN, but congrats to the Longwood Lancers, first place. And I think we got another budding story we got to discuss here going on in this conference. How about those red hot South Carolina Upstate Spartans?
I mean, this is just a team that came out of nowhere. And at the beginning of conference play, if you'd have said like, where would Upstate be? We would have thought pretty much at the bottom of the division.
That's where we expect them to go. And here they are. Let me pull up the sheet here for Upstate. Sheet, I don't know that I've pulled up in years. This team has not been good since moving to the Big South. I think they had one or two decent years early on in the A Sun, but here they are, back-to-back wins. But they won at Garner Webb, they won at Asheville, they won at Presbyterian, they won at Hampton, they won at A&T. They're picking up road wins too, on top of that.
Big game next week as they go to Longwood.
Still
Don't
8 days
miss
away.
that if you're able to see it.
Okay. Anyhow, congrats to Longwood. Keep an eye on this Upstate team. They won at Hampton tonight. Longwood picked up a win at Asheville. Longwood's at Charleston Southern. Upstate's at High Point. We got Winthrop hosting A&T tomorrow night and then at Hampton. So a few games to circle there. But the big ones coming up, you mentioned February 10th, Upstate and Longwood. I gotta tell you, start of the season, I did not think I'd be saying the South Carolina Upstate Longwood game was a big game in the Big South standings.
Yeah, everything's crazy. The Bengals are in the Super Bowl. Upstate and Longwood are in first place.
Tell me something about the Big West. It's up to you.
Okay. Kind of a, well, I'm kind of shocked by Hawaii. Another team, not as shocking as Longwood and Upstate, but we talked about this last week. Like, this league's upside down. Everybody that we thought we'd see at the top of it, particularly Santa Barbara, just kind of pedestrian. How about Beach? Look at Beach. You know, a team that we just thought was going to be awful this year,
and
one
the
game out
Beach,
of first.
What the Beach did this week, they went to Riverside and they went to UC Davis, and they won both those games. UC Davis had only been getting to the week, only had one conference loss. They're now up to three conference losses. Riverside was right there. I think we got a heck of a battle here. I think we got a three-way battle for this conference title. There have been three teams that we haven't been discussing for years. Again, another upside-down conference.
Right. We used to discuss Long Beach's out-of-conference schedule because it was so ridiculous, but like and it still is to a point. But I don't ever recall ever. Hawaii's had some good teams. They've actually been to some tournaments and gotten past the round of 64. I don't recall ever, even on an Under the Radar podcast, talking about Fullerton other than in the Big West tournament game that they lost. And here they are, like right on the doorstep, having a fantastic year.
Yeah. Hawaii at Riverside, definitely a game we're circling. I still think this is a dangerous Riverside team. This is coming up tomorrow night. Fullerton hosting Cal Poly. Where's Long Beach? They're hosting Bakersfield. Over the weekend, Hawaii is at Davis. Beach holding hosting Cal Poly there. If these teams keep winning, they're going to start playing each other soon, and it's going to be really fun. They're obviously coming up next Tuesday night, Fullerton at Long Beach. Battle of those second and third place teams right now. But I'm in on Hawaii right now, especially if they can win at Riverside tomorrow night. I'm a believer. I really am.
Right. And haven't played the toughest schedule in the world in Hawaii, but still looking good in conference.
Another team that's looking good in conference that we had no predictions of. Here's another upside-down conference. If you had told me that between UNC Wilmington and Northeastern, one would be 9-0, the other would be 0-10, right now, I'd bet everything that Northeastern would be the 9-0 and Wilmington was an 0-10 team. Now, Northeastern's had injuries. They've had all kinds of problems. Obviously, they're not going anywhere this year. Wilmington beats Northeastern, gets a big win on Saturday over Hofstra, gets another big win Monday. Wilmington does over Drexel, 9-0.
I keep thinking Hofstra's on the brink and keep wanting to talk about how good they are and how dangerous they are, but they just keep letting me down every time I go in that direction. And you look at Wilmington, a team that I wasn't particularly all that excited about at any point. Well, they've beaten all the teams that I thought were good. And how do you not like them the most right now? If you don't have the Flow Sports app, download the Flow Sports app. You need the Flow Sports app because it shows this conference.
Yeah. Wilmington is going to be at Elon, at Bill and Mary. Big game coming on Monday, though, at Hofstra. That may be one of their toughest tests left. This Wilmington, and Wilmington's been coming from behind to win games. They've been pulling out miracle games, but this is a fun team to watch. And I'm on board with this Wilmington team, too.
I am, too.
They're going to lose at some point, obviously, unless they cut down the Nets as national champions, but it's been a fun ride so far. I think it's gonna be fun the rest of the way.
I agree.
Griggs, over in the Horizon League. We've got, Oakland now, because Cleveland State kind of went and had a little bit of a problem at NKU this weekend.
Yeah, kind of a bit of a surprise there. Not that it's winning at NKU is easy, but I every time I'm ready to anoint Cleveland State as the best team in the league, it seems like they do something that's a little disappointing. Now, 10-2 in conference, 14-5 overall, still really good, but based on a team that did the double last year, returned I think all of its rotation. Have they kind of, it's kind of odd to say that they're underachieving, but are they underachieving? I think they are. And that's not so much as a backhanded like to them as much as it is. I just thought this team was so good that they could be better.
Well, I mean, they are 10-2 in conference. They are 14-5 overall. Those are good records. And obviously as long as you get one of the top two seeds, the conference tournament's in Cleveland, get one of the top two seeds. There's still a real good chance that you do get this automatic bid.
This Oakland team, some of the benchmarks, not anywhere near the bubble, but the win at Oklahoma State, really good, and then 9-1 in conference, and some pretty big wins along the way there.
a perplexing loss at Milwaukee, a shorthanded Milwaukee team, but big road trip week for Oakland at NKU, which
Yeah,
would
that
just be
was
Cleveland
tough.
State, then at Wright State, which is always a tough place to win, then at
Yeah.
Youngstown, which is a which is a much improved program the last few years here. So I want to look at those games here. Cleveland State's going to be home with Green Bay and Milwaukee coming in, so
Yeah,
should
and
be
they
easier for
should win
Cleveland
both of
State.
those. Yeah.
So I definitely keep a look at what Oakland has got this week in terms of this conference. Over in the Ivy League, we had
I
the
mean.
big Yale Princeton game, and Yale came out with the 80-74 win. So congrats, first of all, to Yale,
Yeah.
who was the first team to knock off Princeton, and they're basically tied in the loss column at the top of the standings now, and I still think Yale's going to end up winning this conference, especially after they went to
Do you
Princeton.
really? I was actually kind of surprised, but it's hard to argue when they just beat the team that I thought was, I thought it was Princeton and friends this year. But you start to look at this, it's an odd conference. Only four teams going to the conference tournament. And you're going to have a battle for that fourth spot. I don't know if you think Yale's going to win, and that's a pretty safe pick. I do think Princeton and Yale are going to run away from the other six for the one and two seed, and then three and four, it's going to be kind of a battle between three and four teams.
But and that is the battle here because only four teams make it. And keep an eye on Harvard; they are hosting this conference tournament. If they
Even if
make it
they
in that
don't
top
get
four,
in. Yeah.
if they can, and even if they don't get in, they're hosting it. Can they get one of those top four spots and get in?
Yeah. How crazy would that be? Harvard gets the fourth seed. They host the tournament. That's Yale's reward, playing at Harvard.
That's kind of unfair almost.
Yeah.
We do have the Friday Saturday schedule for that, I believe, for the first time this year finally in the Ivy League. They
Yeah.
start they
The first
spread things
time
out.
in 2 years. How
First time in
about
2 years
that?
for Friday Saturday. They kind of spread things out so far early this season. The rest of the way I believe you're going Friday Saturday. So Yale is hosting Dartmouth and Harvard. Big game on Saturday there. And Princeton's at Cornell and at Columbia this weekend.
Yeah, Yale at Harvard on Wednesday. Perhaps a preview of the semifinal.
Yeah, those Wednesday games I believe are makeup games. That's why they snuck them in there on Wednesday. But definitely look at Harvard Yale back to going to be play each other twice back to back Saturday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Let's jump over to the Metro Atlantic Conference. Aside
Okay.
from Monmouth from the top of the show, who Griggs likes better than Gonzaga, how about the Iona Gales? They've got a little bit of test from St. Peter's, but they won the game and they did what they needed to do.
They have. They're running away from the league. If they continue to do that, they're inside the bubble. I think they even have one strike left in them to where if they lose one, they should still get taken. And when you look at what they have
Well,
left,
let me throw that out there, Griggs. If they lose, are you saying if they lose two then, or are you saying the one in the conference tournament they get taken?
no, I think one in the regular season and one in the conference tournament.
Okay, because
Yeah.
if they need an at-large bid, they're going to have one bad loss already.
Right. And it's just the one that really kind of stings that was within their grasp was that game at St. Louis. They led the whole game and just couldn't let it get away. I know St. Louis isn't a team that's in the field, but winning on the road there would have really sort of sparkled up their resume a little bit. I suppose it depends on who it's to. I don't know.
I'll tell
They
you
should
what.
win out. Like they're kind of running downhill. They went to Monmouth and got that win, and I think that was the hardest game on the schedule for the conference. So
Yeah, but I mean, you do have a lot of more road games than home games, first of
a
all. You do
lot
have to
more,
you do
yeah.
have the Monmouth home game, so you want to circle that because that is a tough
Yeah.
Monmouth, we know, can win on the road. They have eight true road wins already, so
Yeah,
that's
Canisius, some of these road games, Ryder, man, I mean, these just aren't too well, going to Manhattan, that one's gonna be kind of rough. That's a big rivalry, as you know, and
It's a big
hopefully if
rivalry.
you're
They
watching,
blew out Manhattan the first time they played, though, so I don't really
yeah.
too worried about that one. They're
I
at
guess the
Canisius
next
at
question
Manhattan.
is how dangerous is this Iona team in the round of 64?
Very dangerous. I don't want to play
Yeah.
them.
Yeah.
I mean, we're probably looking at the 12 seed line, maybe the no, no, I'm sorry, at least the 11 seed line, maybe the 10,
Yeah.
maybe the 9 if they keep winning.
Yeah.
You're a 9 seed. I mean, by the seeding alone, you have a real good shot at winning. So
Right, yeah.
I think 8-9s of all time are very close to a 50-50 split, aren't they?
I think they are.
Let's jump over to the Mid-American Conference, where off of that big win last week that Toledo had over Ohio, both teams picked up 2-0 weeks. Toledo being Akron and at Eastern Michigan. Ohio knocked off Ball State, and before that, picked up a nice blowout win at Buffalo.
Ohio kind of back to their old selves, I guess. I gotta say, like I was banging the drum for this Ohio team, and I still am. I still think they're good. I don't think they're at large bid good. I don't think Toledo's resume is at large bid good. I think Toledo's team is. This is a very good Toledo team. Oh, wow, are they good?
I think you just nailed this entire conference in about 30 seconds, so we could probably keep moving. But Ohio's got a couple of home games. Toledo has a road game until, and then we got Tuesday night, round two of Ohio Toledo. So circle that one on Tuesday. Ohio at Toledo, round two. Should Toledo get the sweep, that could be it for the conference regular season title right there, because they'll have the tiebreaker as well.
Yeah, they'll have the tiebreaker, and they'll have a game lead with kind of running downhill. And if Toledo wins out, which they're certainly good enough to do, how close to the bubble are they? Probably. They just don't have
I don't
anything at the top of their resume.
we could pull it up here. I was just you know this conference is the conference tournament that's in Cleveland. I believe I said earlier that the Horizon was in Cleveland. The Horizon's on campus sites. I apologize for that. Anyone that wants to ding me for it on Twitter, I already apologize. I screwed that up. This conference tournament's the one in Cleveland. But Toledo, I
I
don't know.
just,
You'll have 2 wins over Ohio and nothing else in the top two quadrants.
correct. I just don't think there's enough to get them there. Even if you want to argue for them, it's hard to do.
It really is. I think 3 wins over Ohio would get them in.
Yeah.
But
Well, yeah.
the third would be in the
Third one better be
MAC
in the championship game.
tournament. Yeah, exactly. MEAC Conference.
Oh, boy.
One game that went final since we started this show, even Coppin State won by 2 points at Delaware State to keep Delaware State winless against D1, but they have been playing a little closer lately.
Yeah, a couple
Norfolk's.
near misses, really.
The big story, though, was the game that was on ESPNU Monday night here, actually. The NC Central, big comeback late to nip Norfolk State, knock Norfolk State out of the undefeated ranks here, and make this really a two-team race in the conference.
Yeah, I thought Norfolk State was so much better than everybody else. They were just going to run away with it. NC Central going there and winning, and I don't know if it was a just a night where it was just NC Central's night and not Norfolk's, but I don't. I still think this Norfolk team is better than everyone else and should win the conference tournament.
I agree with you. I mean, that was their toughest game of the season at NC Central in conference play. So, got to go there. They, in fact, don't have a game currently listed on the schedule for this upcoming week. We'll see
Yeah.
if that
Howard is playing.
changes. Howard seems to be playing every single day, according to what's on the screen here. We'll have to
Yeah.
double check if this is correct, but they are apparently in 3 games in 4 days with Eastern Shore at Delaware State and Golly,
Yeah, don't know who that
Gee,
is.
Golly Whiz,
Yeah.
Missouri Valley Conference.
Yes.
Well, Chicago
Okay.
not even in first place anymore after they lose to Drake. They lost
No,
to the Drake.
and what does this mean for Loyola Chicago? We still have them inside the bubble. Ty Tell, our selection committee guessing expert, still has them, but they're not safely inside the bubble. And the other thing, the first problem is their paper. We're about to look at it here as you pull it up. It's
It's
just
coming.
starting to get some anvils on it.
They're tier two anvils. They're not tier three. Although, look at where
Right.
they are. They are at the bottom of tier two.
Yeah.
68 Missouri State, 75 drops it to tier three. 93 at Drake, I guess 135 would drop it to tier three. If Drake and Missouri State keep playing well, which they've been playing lately, those will stay tier two wins, losses.
Right.
But if
So
they start
these,
faltering, could go the
yeah.
other way.
So these aren't fatal wounds, but you get the sense on paper they're running out of strikes. But let me ask you this, Chad. Forget the paper for a second. When you watch this team for the last couple of weeks, it's just shocking. It's like, is that really the same team that almost beat Michigan State? Is that the team that played so well against San Francisco? What the hell is wrong with them all of a sudden?
I tell you, they're not. It's what I've been seeing is the team that played close games at home against Bradley, close games at home against Indiana State, close game at home against Valpo, And these are teams that you need to blow out if you are an at-large quality team. Oh, their paper tells me they beat a San Francisco team that's on its way into the bad side of the bubble right now. So they don't really have a solid tournament win on this resume. I don't think, I don't know that they are. I could see them getting left out of the field. If they were selecting the field today, I could see them getting left out.
Right. When you look at this remaining schedule, this regular season schedule, they've got Drake at home. They go to Missouri State. They
Huge
need
game
to win
at
out.
Mizzou State.
Yeah. And is that hard to do? Yes. But guess what else is hard to do, Chad? You and I say it all the time. What's hard to do?
There's a lot of things that are hard to do. I'm
Well,
no good
making
at
the NCAA tournament.
advanced calculus or
Yeah, I know. Okay, whatever.
I tried to learn what how
I
Bitcoin works
tried
and
to
I
set
failed on
you
that.
up there to finish with
Oh,
something
you made what
stupid.
teams are hard to do.
Yeah.
It is very hard to make the NCAA tournament. I agree with you.
Yeah.
And Loyola, I think they are probably out. There may be one more regular season strike, but
Yeah.
it's they are creeping closer and closer to that 12-13 seed range, and then you're just it
Yeah,
makes this a one-bid
because
league.
yeah, and when they've been winning, they've been beating teams that aren't very good by not very much. And they have just been kind of like sleepwalking. They need to come out of it.
Couple big games here. Keep an eye on Northern Iowa. They have also been starting to improve lately.
Yeah, they
They're up
have.
to 7-3 conference. They're at Drake, big in-state rivalry there on Saturday, so huge
Yeah,
game
big
there.
one.
Also, I already mentioned Loyola Chicago at Missouri State. Then Missouri State at Drake coming up on Wednesday. So we've got a few big games there. I was trying to see if you have any
Yeah.
files yet. Add another win on to Northern Iowa. In fact, they did beat Bradley since we that game went final since we started the show.
Okay.
They're up
Yeah, I
to eight
saw
and
that.
three now overall.
Yeah.
So let's keep going over to one of our favorite conferences, though, the
Yeah.
Northeast Conference, which in kind of a rare rarity for this conference, we have one team that is starting to pull away here in Wagner, 10-0 in
Yeah.
league.
Bryant keeping pace, at least in the standings, but on the court, like Wagner is, I don't ever recall this being the case in this league. We've got a flag bearer.
We really do. And one other note here, Peter Kiss, who is Bryant's best player, just got suspended for the next two games.
Oh, I didn't hear
So,
that. Yeah.
yeah, that just came down out today. So with Peter Kiss out, this is can Bryant win these next two games? I'll pull the schedule up. They're at SFPA and at Mount St. Mary's. The Mount at least is having a decent season
Yeah.
by Northeast standards. Bryant's got to win these two games without Kiss if they want to keep pace with Wagner, who's going to have a bye game at Central Connecticut and a bye game at home against the Long Island team. So it's
Right. So Wagner cruising, they've got two, well, like they all are, winnable games this week. The Sharks are, they host the Sharks, who they should beat, and they go to Central Connecticut, who, if they want to maintain any semblance of self-respect, they need to win that one. But Wagner, I mean, we're talking things about the Northeast Conference. We love this league, and if you don't have the Northeast Conference app, you need to download it now because it's free
That
and
one
you,
is free. You don't have to pay for
yes.
like the flow hoops. Yeah.
Yeah. We're looking at 13, 14-ish lines, an odd oddity for this
Well,
league.
Wagner is a little bit weird because they had a shutdown there because of COVID, which cost them non-conference games that they did not get rescheduled. So they had a light non-conference schedule. Only
Yeah.
three key non-conference games. They won one of them at a VCU team that could end up in the field. They lost to Seton Hall, who should probably end up in the field. And then they got blown out of Penn State, but it's at Penn State. It's a Big Ten team.
Right.
But, so it kind of makes you think, if they do win every single game, could we look? I think we could be looking 14 line at least, maybe even
Oh yeah, I
13,
think so. Yeah.
which is very strange for this conference, which
Yeah.
often sends teams to Dayton for the first four.
Right, yeah. Which is why we love the first four, the only reason.
We have the Ohio Valley Conference up next, where Murray State continues to roll. Belmont did
Yeah.
bounce back as well to pick up a pair of wins at Austin Peay over UT Martin. But Murray rolled to Tennessee Tech, got a bit of a battle from Morehead State, but picked up that win as well. Now Morehead down there at 9-1, Belmont 7-2. But this is that Murray State team that's getting very close to moving onto the radar.
Yeah, 27 in the AP poll. I don't think that they're that good. That's one of the questions people ask me. Well, how good are these under the radar teams really? I think realistically, somewhere between 35 and 40 is where they really are. Certainly capable and deserving of being inside the bubble and capable of getting to the round of 32, but probably not an actual top 25 team. But if they get there, they will have very much earned it. And they're certainly, in my opinion, the best team in this conference by quite a bit.
Well, if they want to get there, what they got to do is they definitely got to go tomorrow night to Austin Peay and win. They definitely got to win at home Saturday against Edwardsville. So those are the two big games they have. Belmont's at Tennessee State. That's a in city rivalry there, is it not?
Yeah, it is. Well,
And they're
it's an
hosting Austin
in-city
Peay.
matchup.
All right. I think they're 8 miles apart. I've never made the NCAA tournament. We'd have to.
I mean, if we have the rivalry tracker, we could check
Unfortunately, we don't have it tonight. I was unprepared for that. But let's jump over to the Patriot League, where, Griggs, we were talking about this before we started the show. There was a game tonight, right
Oh
here.
boy, you have to tell this.
Okay. With about 5 minutes left in the game, Navy at Lehigh tonight, Navy had an impressive, commanding 60-43 lead here. Let's look at the final score on the screen there. Lehigh 63, Navy 62. Yes, Lehigh finished the game last 5 minutes on a 20-2 run to for one of the probably one of the most incredible comebacks in Lehigh history. One of the most incredible comebacks I've ever seen, honestly. It was a complete meltdown by Navy, kind of like they did against Army quite a week ago. So Navy's got this bad habit of melting down in these games.
Navy had a 22-point lead at the half over Army and again imploded in the second half. And I hate to hit below the belt here, Chet,
They
but
had a
how does this make
17-point
you?
lead with 5 minutes left to go tonight. That's even worse.
How does this make you feel about the defense of the nation?
Oh, jeez. That's Colgate's in first place in the conference, but they did actually lose a game to BU earlier this week. They bounced back with a win at Lafayette and a win over Bucknell. So I gotta kind of go with the Colgate Raiders as the top team here
It's
again.
kind of crazy, a losing overall record, but looking among the best in this conference. I wanted to like Navy coming into the year, but like they're 7-4. Two of those losses were games where they had 20-point second half leads, and in one of those, they had a 17-point lead with 5 minutes to go.
Lehigh, let's see how this win. They're now 7-4 in conference. Maybe this boosts them up. They've got BU coming up and at Colgate on Wednesday. That might be a game worth circling. You gotta cheer for Army as well. They're clearly better at defending the nation than the Navy is. We've seen in this conference. If we want to hit below the belt again, I was trying to stall as much as we could, but we'll pull the SoCon up next because as we record this, Samford is pulling. Putting the finishing touches on the second major upset of Chattanooga this season. After the Mocs went to Western Carolina, who's in 10th place and lost, they went to Samford, who's in 8th place tonight, and it looks like they're about to lose that game. They're down six on my screen here with about 30 seconds to go. Another bad loss for the Mocs here that
Oof.
just have had problems
And
on the road against the bottom of the conference.
yeah, I voted for them, so it's going to throw the top 10 out of
We
whack.
both did. We
I
all
was
did.
just certain they'd go to Samford and beat them.
But you got to look at Furman. They won at Mercer. They picked up a big win over Citadel, scored 100 points on them tonight. So maybe Furman, who we liked early in the season, is going to be the best team in this conference at the end of the day.
Looking, and if you pull their profile up real quick,
Which one?
Furman,
Okay.
there is a little bit of reason for alarm here as far as their overall staying power. It'll just take a second to load. I'll entertain it. Load, 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 load. There we go. Okay, so if you look here at quadrant two, 80-72 had to sweat out Louisville. Is that concerning for you?
That's kind of concerning, you know. I mean, even North Carolina won at Louisville.
Yeah, they did. That and then it's oh God, not under the radar, but holy, if you want to be entertained, watch the last minute of that overtime.
Let's go. I want to go back one more time, real quick, to the results tonight. There was another somewhat notable result tonight where Western Carolina picked up a home win over East Tennessee State. I believe what I heard during this broadcast that it had been like 20 plus years since Western Carolina actually beat ETSU at home. So congrats
Wow.
to Western Carolina finally getting a home win. That going to Western Carolina is suddenly a tough place to go this year, which it's never been
Yeah.
before, ever.
Yeah, ever. But Furman and Chattanooga are still the front runners, despite Chattanooga's loss tonight, probable loss tonight. So,
Probable loss. We'll confirm that before the show's over as soon as it
yeah.
goes official here. But let's keep moving right along here. You see Chattanooga's at Samford tonight, but Chattanooga's hosting Mercer and play and then at Mercer this week. While what we got Furman's got Greensboro and at ETSU. The Southland Conference. We do have a team in the Southland that is undefeated in conference play in
I
New
can't believe
Orleans.
it. I
They
really
went.
can't.
They went to Houston Baptist and won this week. They went to McNeese State and won. And here they are. And 2-game lead now on everybody. I'm a believer.
Yeah, when it was within one, I was like, well, Corpus Christi, just not their night, still the best team. Now it's a 2-game lead. I guess it's New Orleans. Now, I hope they enjoy Dayton. It's not as quite as happening of a place as New Orleans, but that's where they're heading.
My last bracket I did, I had them matched up with Southern, which would be a good in-state battle there
Oh,
in I think
it
that'd be kind of fun.
That'd be
So
kind of fun, yeah.
there would be a storyline if we can get that game.
Yeah.
They are at Corpus Christi and at Incarnate Word. The way this conference is going, they're going to win at Corpus Christi and lose at Incarnate Word, who's
Right, yeah.
for all I know. But
And
but
we got
actually
to do it, though.
do circle that game. New Orleans at Corpus Christi, definitely worth
Yeah,
watching.
and I think I know what's next. We got to do it. I don't want to do it because it's just too hard.
I'm not certain what you're talking about.
The Sun Belt, is that what's
No,
next?
we're still a couple of conferences away.
Oh, okay. Wait, never
We're
mind.
gonna go to the SWAC next.
Oh, we got to go to the SWAC. This one isn't so
We
bad.
like the so I was
We
wondering,
like the SWAC. We love the SWAC.
and Southern suffers a loss at Alcorn State, and suddenly we have a log jam at the top. And we
Yes.
don't normally don't the Prairie View or Texas Southern normally runs away with this conference. We have five teams within a game of each other here are first place with Southern,
Yeah.
FAMU, Grambling, Texas Southern, and Alcorn State all right there. And
Yeah, and
Prairie View
how
team
much
that I'm
fun
still
is
keeping an
this
eye
year?
on. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is gonna be a fun trip, fun in Birmingham for the conference tournament. I think it's gonna be a ton of
Oh,
fun.
gonna be great. And a lot of these rivalries and a lot of these games have been like really fun to watch. You mentioned like Alcorn State Southern, not always the best played games, but still a lot of emotion and just excitement and action. And
Texas Southern at Prairie View was a game we highlighted last week. It was a really good game. It was a 1-point win by Texas Southern.
yeah.
Only the top eight teams make this conference tournament as well, so you could want to keep a little bit idea down here on 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Also, could be some interesting battles at the bottom of the conference to make that top
For
eight.
sure, for sure.
But this is a logjam of a conference. I still am leaning Southern, but they got to win. They got to beat Alabama A&M and Alabama State this week to stay on
Yeah.
top. Also, look at the Texas Southern and FAMU game. That's a game among teams here that are in this battle. So another one to circle. Quick note here: Samford's win has gone final over Chattanooga. So
Yeah.
congrats to Samford. Let's. What was that? That was the SWAC. How about the Summit League?
Summit, love this league. Oh, probably one of my favorite. I mean, we like all the leagues, but some we like more than others. Again, the storyline, South Dakota State continuing to dominate the league to the 20-win mark, one of, I think, only three teams in only D1 to get there. Probably the class of the league, but here comes Oral Roberts. They're an outside shooting machine, and it took them a while to get going, but they're going. And are they going back to the Sweet 16, Chad?
I was kind of thinking Elite Eight, maybe Final Four this year.
I think that them making the Elite Eight this year would have been far less surprising than them doing what they did last year. That was stupefying. And they almost did go to the
Oral Roberts is going to be hosting Western Illinois and St. Thomas this week. South Dakota State has their big in-state rival at South Dakota on Saturday, and
Yeah.
the Yotes are not an awful team either. That could be a challenge for
The
South Dakota
Yotes
State.
were awful for the first part of the year, but they've kind of gone on a tear here, and they've got quite a bit of momentum going, and that's a fun rivalry if you get the chance to watch it, which why wouldn't you?
A
M
little
make
bit of
plans.
news, little news out of the Summit League last week as well. This is a conference that only takes its top eight teams to the conference tournament. Beginning next season, All 10 will be taken to the conference tournament, including St. Thomas, while they transition with so they will even be going starting next year. This year, the top 8 will be going, which means St. Thomas and North Dakota will not be.
Well, maybe, because St. Thomas won't be, and North Dakota's 3 games behind Omaha. They will not be either.
Let's go to Conference Chaos, aka this conference grid you want
Yeah,
to go to,
I didn't want
aka the
to
Sun Belt. And you know what? Before we even get to what happened in the past week here, I got to go
it.
back a week because we kind of screwed up a little bit last week by not
Okay.
discussing what happened in a little game between Arkansas Little Rock and Texas Arlington about 10 days ago. A triple overtime game that, due to injuries and some COVID protocols heading into the game, Little Rock had 7 scholarship players available. The game went triple overtime. During the course of the game, 4 players fouled out for Little Rock. That left them in the third overtime play period with 1 starter, 2 bench guys, and 2 walk-ons. And they won in triple overtime. They beat Arlington 12-10 in that third overtime period. It was an absolutely amazing performance by a couple of kids here, Terrell Curtis and Admir Besovic, coming off the end of the bench. These are guys that could mop up time at the end of games and were on the floor for the entire third overtime period and helped this Little Rock team somehow win a game.
And what a great story. I'm glad you brought that up. We should have talked about that last week. It was just, kind of it got lost in the shuffle. But sometimes a win like that, it can be sort of season defining, and it can really rally you.
It didn't quite do that for Little Rock this past week, though.
Yeah,
They went 0-2 after
or
that.
it can or it can divide you and you just crash into a mountain and go 0-2 after that. But a remarkable story. Had they been in some other conference, they would not have gone 0-2. But I'm starting to like Louisiana Monroe's chances of winning this league in baseball.
I'll tell you, in all seriousness, this is the first week, I think, all season where a team was in first place and then went 2-0. App State
Yeah.
was in first place last week. They beat Arkansas State. They beat Little Rock. They're still in first place. Tied in the loss column with Arkansas State, but three
Yeah.
more wins overall on the win side. So,
And I miss Talika. If he were here, we'd be playing the hot video right now.
I don't miss that at
Yeah.
all. And App State this week is going to be on the road again at Texas State and at Texas Arlington. They can win, pick up these two. We actually
Oh,
may
yeah, if they
finally.
win those, we could finally, for the first time ever, start to see a little bit of definition in this league. This league still has the top half of it separated by 1 game. And the way it goes from week to week, Arlington could jump in the first place by next week's show, even though they only play twice.
Louisiana Monroe might be in first place in next week's show.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but that's the way the conference is going. One
Yeah.
more league, one more regular league, at least in the Western Athletic Conference, one of our favorite leagues as well, the
Yeah,
WAC,
I
where
love this league. And
once
how
again.
about this team? I am on the bandwagon, Chad. I am. It took me a while to get there. Seattle
Let's
isn't just,
go, Red Hawks.
yeah. And it isn't just the pastry cart either. I mean, they've actually lifted some heavy weight since being in this league,
Hey,
or since,
remember what
yeah.
Sam Houston did last week? Sam Houston went and beat New Mexico State and Grand Canyon, and we
Yeah.
were singing their praises. Seattle beats them, albeit at home, but they beat them this weekend and
Yeah.
remain undefeated. So.
Right. And a team I think saying they don't really have any basketball history is overstating it. I think they've won a national title at
They
some
did.
point.
They did. They had a big basketball history. Dropped out of D1. Seattle has not done anything since returning to D1.
Yeah, and no real basketball culture prior to this year, really. I don't know. It's the kind of school I think that there's going to start to be a real buzz around this program, at least with the students and alumni, it being a Jesuit school in the city of Seattle. I you just kind of like to see this. You and I love this whenever you see a program with no history or tradition or culture get good suddenly, and they are. And they might win this league. They really could.
They could. The other notable game for this week was the main rivalry for the last few years here was New Mexico State Grand Canyon. The Lopes had a
Yeah.
lead most of this game, but New Mexico State turned it on midway through the second half and ended up winning it by 10 points. So this is, I still think this is a bet. This New Mexico State team is a better team than
I
Seattle.
think they are too. I think they're better than Seattle, and I think they'll ultimately win the league. It's their last year in it. We've loved this Grand Canyon New Mexico State rivalry, matchup, feud, whatever you want to call it. And you and I know that when they go to CUSA, I don't think it will continue. I don't know if New Mexico State wants to keep playing them. I can understand why not. I wish they would. I hope they do. But we may only get it one more time, Chad.
We may, or two more times of getting the conference tournament, but
Right, yeah.
this week is a huge week though for this Seattle team.
Yes.
Seattle
Oh,
at
yeah.
Grand Canyon at
Tomorrow
New
night.
Mexico State. These next two games will really let everybody know just how good Seattle is. If Seattle can go and win at the Lopes and at the Aggies, this conference is over.
It is.
We are just going to cancel the rest of the season, cancel the conference tournament, just give Seattle the automatic bid.
I think we should. Now, I don't, I think they'll be doing pretty damn good to just get one of them. But if they get
Yeah,
both of
yes, I agree. I agree there,
them,
but
yeah.
we'll see here. Keep an eye on Utah Valley as well, very quietly up to 5-3 in this conference. They do have that win over
Yeah.
BYU, so they are a dangerous team as we go further and go towards the conference tournament. The WAC tournament going to one of those elongated ladder formats that we love with like three different regional brackets and things like that. So
What
it's just
are
gonna
they
be.
doing that for?
It's going to be very important to get one of these top two seeds and get a bye to the semifinals.
Yeah.
So look for that as we go ahead as
B
well.
because, like, yeah, you have to, otherwise, you have to win through 7 rounds to get there.
You have to win through several rounds to even qualify into like the into and it's kind of like a bowling tournament where you do the where
Right.
you go up
Yeah. So it's similar to the Mountain West. There's
but the
ladders, and
West the
then
West the
there's.
West Coast Conference, yeah.
I'm sorry, the West Coast Conference. Thank you. There's ladders, and then there are ladders. And one of the funniest things about
Check it
the
out
West
right up
Coast
there,
Conference, too. Yeah.
conference tournament tab. Yep.
Yeah. I want to say, was it LMU or somebody went on a run in the West Coast Conference tournament, but was eliminated before Gonzaga even played a game? But everybody was saying they went on a run of winning like three or four games.
You win three games in a row and you make it to the quarterfinals. It's yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let's check it out. Should we check in on our mythical conferences?
Yeah, let's check in on the Mythical
Okay.
Conference.
The front
I think we
range.
had a busy week here.
Front
Yeah.
range, first of all, big two front range games of the calendar, and Wyoming goes 2-0 in them. So how
Yeah.
about the Cowboys now in commanding control of the front range?
Right. They are and trying to get that automatic, possibly automatic bid from the front range. Wyoming getting further and further inside the bubble. Colorado State slipping a little bit.
There we go. Wyoming has Boise State and Fresno State. Where's Colorado State? They got San Diego State and Nevada. So no front range games this week.
Yeah, none this week. Yeah.
Let's check into the Beehive Conference.
The Beehive, yes.
BYU still winning, but Utah Valley. I was just talking about them. They're only half a game behind the Cougars. And it's actually, if you look
Yeah.
at the loss columns, a three-way tie here. So.
Yeah, things getting exciting. And then it kind of a log jam at the top there with all five of those teams.
Yeah, you know, Dixie State and
Yeah.
Utah kind of falling out of it here, but
And what do they win, Chad, if we find it? We're still searching for it,
if we find it, they win the old ochre, the bucket.
I thought you made that up, but I thought the old I can't even say it.
It's pronounced ochre. It's the old ochre bucket. It goes to the champion of the Beehive Conference. We are going to find it. We are going to be bringing it back. And we're going to be probably awarding to Utah Valley.
Yeah.
They did beat BYU head to head. I is one of the team we should check in on. We haven't checked in on
Okay.
them a while, but Griggs, how's Carver Bible doing?
Well, Carver Bible College had a big week. Did you see that they made the Hoops HD NCAA tournament projection this week?
Yes, and they followed that up with a loss by 95-46 at Miles College in a
Miles College.
non-D1 game.
Yes.
But,
Got yeah, they got Lincoln Memorial coming up soon.
and that's
Trying
that's
to
it
get
right now.
yeah.
We're trying to add a few more games in for them, but we'll keep an eye on that.
Right.
But
Yeah. A lot of road games this year. I guess they were at home against Winthrop.
The Winthrop game was a neutral was technically a neutral court game. It was at with it was in Rock it was in Winthrop City. But it was
Okay.
not played on Winthrop's home court. It was actually part of an event that, and so it was played on a neutral, on a technically a neutral court there. But
Yeah.
so 0-21 on the road, 0-1 in neutral games. yet to get a home game in at this point. We'll see. We're working on that. I don't even know if they have a home court, honestly. But
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that they do either.
I guess they have somewhere they got to practice.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not practicing. Who knows? Yeah,
end of the field this week.
Let's take a look at the Hoops HD top under the radar top 10 list.
My God, a four-way tie.
Greg Snyder, Rocco Bracket Miller from Bracket Racketeer.org. He voted as well. He wasn't able to join us on the show tonight, but we'll start with honorable mentions. These are teams that did not make the top 10 but got votes. Oakland missing out on the top 10. New Mexico State just missing.
Yeah.
Missouri State got a little love. UNC Wilmington and Longwood. How about the Lancers getting some honorable mention at least here?
Mm-hmm. That's good to see.
Number 10, Vermont, cracking the top 10. I think for the first time this season, Vermont.
Yeah, and God, this is a good team.
Number 9, we got Belmont.
Belmont back in it, yeah.
Then we had a four-way tie for fifth place between Toledo.
Oh, Toledo, that's low.
Chattanooga before the loss tonight.
Yeah, we should have.
North Texas and South Dakota State.
Those are all good teams.
Number 4, I did not agree with. I thought that they should have been below North Texas, but UAB up there in fourth place. And Rocco liked them better than I did.
Yeah.
At number 3, Loyola Chicago.
Ooh, Loyola dropping down to 3. Yeah, well, deservedly so, really.
I think that's right. Number 2 is Iona.
Mm-hmm.
And number 1, no surprise, they may not be under the radar next week, Murray State.
And this is a good Murray State team.
Yeah. No drum roll for anybody this week. On that note, though, Griggs, why don't we go to any of the final thoughts? Let's finish. Let's get out of the show. And we destroyed it enough already.
Yeah, we did. So anyway, Chad, you know, recently just how excited I've been about this new project. Well, maybe you don't know, but here it is. It's just something that's going on, and I'm actually going to announce it tonight, if that's okay. Okay. Let me get it here. And it is, you've heard of some of these cryptocurrencies, all of that. Well, I am happy to announce what I am calling Griggs Coin. Here it is. You see the coin there. You get this. This is a crypto coin. You get it mailed to you. There it is. I'm on it. It's the new currency.
Griggs, that looks like a real coin.
Well, yeah, but it's a crypto coin. Well, this is a real coin, but it's a crypto. I don't know how this works. I just know that but it can be yours for just $5,000. It's a steal. It's the new currency that's sweeping the nation. If you want to purchase it, click here.
I'm going to click right about now.
No, Chad, this is a new currency.
Anybody that's listening, please do not go on you can go up there, check out the conference tournament tab. You can go up there, check out the bracketology tab. Do not go to the Griggs Coin tab. I'm guaranteeing nothing, and we have I'm declaring that we're immune from any liability for anyone that wants to sue us for those. But Griggs Coin. On that note, on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with recording a bracket rundown tomorrow night, and then back with more Under the Radar next week, and who knows? There's write-ups, there's interviews, there's I don't know.
Lots of season left.
Lots of season left. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.